the Rove and Sam catch-up.
Rove, you know how much I relish my privacy.
I sure do. That's why I don't even know your last name.
If you want to make sure you have privacy at your home, I suggest you contact Winston with a Y.
Oh, yeah, of course. They're the family business with over 48 years' experience who can custom make blinds, awnings and crimp-safe products for your house.
And if you contact them now, you can have it all ready by Christmas.
Oh, that's great, because I'm sick of that guy who keeps breaking in over Christmas and eating all our biscuits.
Who does that?
Oh, I saw him once. He's some guy in a big red suit with a white beard.
That's Santa Champy.
Look, I don't care what his name is. I just want him away from my biscuits.
So for your custom-made blinds, awnings and crimp-safe products, go to winstonwithay.com.au.
That's Winston, spelled W-Y-N-S-T-A-N.
By the way, Rove, my last name's Frost.
Sam, be careful. Santa could be listening and he'll steal all your biscuits.
Chitty, chitty, chat, 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 chat.
What's up?
Two things.
Yep.
First thing, someone had a sexy dream about you last night. Semi-sexy
Yay!
Dream.
Semi-sexy dream. I love dream. Semi-sexy dreams about me.
So the first part of this is a big happy birthday shout out to Survivor host Jeff Probst. Oh. I called him on the way into work today.
Oh.
And I was just saying, happy birthday. And I said, what have you been up to? He goes, well, you know, the funniest thing. He said, I had a dream about Sam.
Oh, no.
Yes, and Jeff, like, I'm listening.
Excuse me? So he said, yeah. He said, it was really weird. He said, you were there and Sam was there and I was there and a couple of other people, you know, the usual sort of, you know.
They're just your mates.
Just faceless nobodies in a dream.
Sure.
And you were showing him pictures of you, like where you just looking banging, smoking hot.
That sounds like you. Yeah.
And he's like, yeah, that's not Sam at all. And he's like, wow, you're banging, smoking hot. And you're like, yeah, I know. He said, so your words were, yeah, I know, but I don't want to go on about it too much on the radio. I was like, are you sure this was a dream?
Yeah. That actually sounds like one of our podcasts.
And then he started to feel uncomfortable.
Hey.
Because he started to think about Sasha. And he's like, because we were in the hotel that we were in LA.
Yeah.
That's where it was. And so he's like, oh, my God, because, like, he's met Sash and he knows he's a big bloke. And he was like, but what if Sasha comes back? And I'm looking at these pictures and he's like, who cares, man? You know, just that thing of he, and in the dream, he just started to feel really uncomfortable about looking at these really sexy, hot pictures of you, worrying that Sasha would come back. And then he woke up, was like, what does that mean? What does that mean? And then
that
there's
means
me ringing.
He's got a sixth sense.
He does.
That's amazing. He's really nailed my personality, though.
He knows you far too well. So, 131060, when did a celebrity have a sexy dream about you?
That's a great one. I'm going to put that as my soundboard too.
Yeah, look, guys, sad day today. One of our own,
Joel,
dies today.
Yeah. You'll best know him as the guy who edits all of our videos and makes us look really funny when we're not. Well, we are, but he makes us look extra funny.
Yeah, I mean, he has the very tough job of trying to work out what funny not to keep.
Exactly.
That's the tough part of it.
It actually is true because when he edited my etiquette training video, mad lols, he said I had to cut so much good stuff. It was really tough.
Of course he did.
Mate, I just provide the goods and you do what you want.
Yep. And when I say he's died or will die, before you start getting too worried, I mean in our hearts.
Yes.
Because we have forgotten about him. Here's what's happened. We have lost... There was another person before you, Jamie.
Yeah.
There was another.
He was. Oh, he wasn't such a dick.
Oh, man. He didn't shred.
What? That makes no sense because I'm here. We'll bring him back. Bring him back then.
You're not getting
it. We might.
You're not getting the joke. That's awkward.
The first to go was a wonderful guy by the name of Edgley. I don't know what his first name is. We never got that far.
Oh, yeah. What was his name?
He was the other part of Joel. He was our social media guy.
Give some memes.
Yes, exactly right. And he left to go work in television. And then, the former Jamie. Mm. And then there was a somewhat.
Former Jamie's gone to work in television too.
And then there was, Jade, the lovely Jade.
Yeah.
We've lost the lovely Jade. There was a someone in between then. See, this I can't even remember.
I can't remember either.
There was, I feel there was someone with, there was a, no,
no.
It's gone. But yeah, look, there's been, let's say, half a dozen.
Oh, so many changes.
And some of them are like, ugh, thank God. But most of them have been, oh, And especially like Edgley, the first one, because I think we've only been here for like a week.
Yeah.
I was like, guys, I've got some bad news. I've been offered a job somewhere else and I'm taking it. I'm like, wow, thanks for the vote of confidence.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, but that's not nice.
And he was like, he and Joel were like Batman and Robin.
I know.
Or Batman and Throbbin, am I right? I don't know. It's Chitty Chat. And then when Joel came in, it was just like, okay, guys, we need to have a little bit of a meeting. So it was us, Moldy Pitts is in there, and then
our executive
Joel.
Producer.
And suddenly
soon as Joel's in the meeting, they didn't even say anything, we're going, no!
Yeah.
No!
I don't think it was even Joel had something to tell you. It was just like, as soon as he sat down, we just went, what?
You're never in these meetings.
Yeah, we're like, no, no, whatever it is. And we had the feeling, we're like, no, 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 you can't. No, Joel was actually saying, I haven't even said anything. I haven't even said anything. We're like, no, Joel, no, we don't accept it. Whatever it is, no, no, no. We were like in a bad breakup.
We were. And then we went on a rant for about half an hour in the office, going through all these different scenarios, remember?
Yeah, that was funny.
And also then it became very much about us and how good we are and how, you know.
How funny we are.
How are we supposed to know how funny we are when the next person know the good ones to pick?
And you were saying, you guys get to enjoy how funny we are, so you know. We don't, because we're doing. How are we supposed to watch ourselves back?
Right now, we're probably being hysterical. We don't know. Until we watch it back, we don't know how funny we are.
And sometimes I think I'm funny and then I listen back and I wasn't. Sort of missed the post with that one.
So,
I mean, it hardly happens. Am I right, Chitty Chatters?
So when we started, Joel was the guy. We had to do so many, hi, we're Rove and Sam and we're new. And a big shout out to Juice Company and to Food Company and to Promotion. Please come and play. And we very quickly learnt that Sam and I like to fuck around. Sorry, Jamie.
That's fine.
Mm-hmm. You can leave the fuck and then cook.
Sure.
That's right.
Maybe
thank you.
It's a Loose Lip Friday.
I can tell you how to do your job if you want.
Yeah, thank you.
Can we have a thing called Loose Lip Friday?
Yeah. Well, we kind of started it today.
I know it's more on air.
Yep.
We're enjoying some smoothies.
Smoothie friends. Talked about how great my boobs are and then said Joel likes to put the D in the V.
I nearly said the F word, actually.
When?
When you were reading out my tweet with your funny voice.
Oh,
will we play
that,
Jamie?
Pardon?
No, probably.
We probably won't play who tweeted it.
No.
Anyway, Sam read out a tweet that I read. Nah, there's no point to drop it in. But
okay.
I think you...
How good's...
No, it was more like a, oh, my God. No, what was it? As long as you were doing a Gavin from accounts.
I was. I was taking the piss out of Rove's tweet. And I was like, hey, guys, like, how good's how good's the parents' room in the shopping centres? It's like a VIP centre.
Nailed it.
Who was it? A,
good
Hamish
person.
Blake. B, Pete Hellyer. Or C, Rove McManus. And the guy said, well, considering the voice that you pulled while reading it out, I'm assuming it's Rove.
And I think I said up your ass or something. It's something, you know. Yeah. But my thought, because I was just laughing in my head, I dropped out of where we were and what we were doing and the fact that we were live on a radio show. I nearly dropped an F-bomb. Anyway, so the point being.
You're due for one, though.
Sam and I like to do that. We like to screw around.
We like to around.
Like to be a bit dumb. And we found out very early on that works very well for us. When we have to do a very serious thing for someone, just skate around it, be idiots, and somewhere in the middle is what they need and they'll cut it, right?
Yeah.
And then everything else will just never be heard of again. And we used to sit there going, we find this funny. Does Joel find it funny? Because he was just quietly sitting behind the camera.
Yep.
Wouldn't say anything. And we would honestly sit there going, I think he thinks we're idiots.
I think he thinks we're really obnoxious.
Yeah.
Do you want to know something? Yeah, so did. When you guys
go... Yes, show me the butt and push up.
Hello. Thank you for the intro.
Well, just in case someone's new to the Chitty Chat, you know what I'm saying?
Thank you.
You're
so
really having a go at me right now.
I'm not. No. Hey, when you guys go home at 11 o'clock, that's when Joel comes out, right? And he edits all the videos.
Sure.
Anyway, so we all sit there. And he laughs so much, always laughing.
At all the fun stuff laughing. We do. Yeah. It makes me so happy and sad.
I was like, oh, what's Joe laughing at? Oh, it's a Rove Sam video.
I can't wait to see like the best of from the last 12 months he's cut together for us.
Oh, that's not going to happen, is it?
Probably not.
That's all I bloody asked for.
But he did have some final parting words. I'm sure we've got to play his farewell.
No, we've got to play Joel's farewell.
But now.
So it'll be the last thing of this.
This is a big moment, Chitty Chatters.
Why? What are you going to do?
Because right now, Sam, we have you were just in with Tom, creepy Instagram Tom, handsome Skarsgård Tom.
Oh, he's so handsome but creepy.
He is the Joel of sound. But without as much pussy.
Am I right?
That we know of.
Or do you like the D and the B?
He knows.
I don't mind if you're gay.
I do.
Are you? I've never asked before.
Tom?
Tom, are you gay or straight?
No, he's shaking his head. A little bit.
A little bit gay. He likes to just dibble-dabble, maybe just the finger.
Seriously, this was the show today. Mm. It was so much of this.
It was a good show.
Yeah,
good
it was show. A fun show, guys. I know we might be ruining it now, but it's a really great show.
But Joel had some parting words, Sam.
Yeah.
This was them.
Thanks
you
for making me
funny
feel...
and they will laugh at you.
You are funny.
And they will laugh at you. Because I said, how do I even know if people are going to think I'm funny? And they won't laugh at me. And he goes, exactly that.
So here's what I'm going to do.
Except it's annoying that I'm talking over the top.
Now I just heard it.
Yeah.
At first I was like, Sam, stop talking over the top of it. Oh, no, that was it. We'll have to get him in to do it clean.
Yeah.
To read you the line.
Oh, well, that's what we do.
Is Tom really a little bit gay?
Just the finger.
just his finger
just
is gay.
Just the tip. Just the tip. Of his
I don't mind if he is. I'm just curious.
Just the tip.
Hey, everyone likes that. That's fair.
But I want to put that on the soundboard. Not that bit about Tom, but I want to put, what is it?
You are funny and they will laugh at you. Anytime I'm doubting myself.
Here we go.
Thanks for
you
making me feel.
You are funny and they will laugh at you.
Is that you doing the in the background?
Yeah, it is.
Jamie.
I reckon it's you, Rove, actually.
Oh, man.
Thanks you for making are me funny feel. And they will laugh at you.
No, that's a Jamie. I reckon that's Jamie.
Jamie, you're so loud.
I think I'm going to put it on the soundboard.
Yeah, but we need it clear.
That's what I'm saying. We'll get him to do it clean.
Maybe I'll do it in my phone so I can set it as my ringtone.
Joel should just do inspirational audio tapes for people.
Like, I love daily Christmas.
Ones. Daily ones, imagine that.
Yeah. So we should point out, Joel's just going downstairs to the overall web department.
Yeah.
I don't think he even really knows
what his job is either.
No, he got a promotion, but...
they say promotion, but what does it mean? I know what a promotion means.
Promotion means you're fired, but you're still on a contract, so we can't get rid of you. Is that what a promotion is?
Sometimes.
Yes, Rob, that is what a promotion is in this building.
Hey, we have a great job opportunity for you in rural Queensland. We think it's going to be a great thing for you.
Like,
really,
you know,
open a lot of doors.
It brings all your strengths. You know, they need what you have to offer.
That's it. No, he is headed downstairs to oversee the entire sort of web department.
Yeah.
So he's still going to be in the building, but we're jokingly saying that in our hearts he will be dead to us. We've even had a countdown on the board, counting down to today. Going to be some boozing. He will probably get laid by someone, possibly Tom, but just the finger.
Oh, Tom.
I love it when the Friday chitty chats. You know what? Chatty chat, I thought it was slipping this week. I was worried.
Oh,
we didn't have it for a lot of this week, but
we
reckon we're back.
We dropped the ball this week.
Well, we had a kooky one, but today's good. Rose Byrne, Deborah Lee Furness, two massive names, plus you've got to hear the outcome of Cody, our pop producer, Sam hooking her up with Alec was the final man. He comes in. We give him, a chance to get out of jail if he wants. Wait till you hear what he says. Hooks and teasers, guys. He's... Oh, wait. Guys.
Yes.
Sam's out the door. She wants to leave.
Oh.
You can leave, Sam. This doesn't involve you so much.
No, I'm back
so
now.
So Rose Byrne is on the show today.
She
came in and we spoke to her for 20 minutes. We just started talking. Quite clearly, we don't need that much time. Her people, herself, us, our people, everyone just let us go. We just had a good... old chitty chat. You guys will love it. And because we didn't use all of it, what we've decided to do is put it out as an extra special podcast, right, Jamie?
Yeah, that's right. So we'll hear the edit version in today's podcast.
Correct.
But then you can also, you would see below or above, there is a full unedited version.
So you have an extra little treat in your podcast stocking today, the unedited Rose Byrne chat. On that, if you subscribe, you'll get it anyway. Make sure you subscribe. Make sure you rate. Make a nice comment and tell your friends because I think that will help make the chitty chat. I mean, the catch-up, less of a catch-up and more of a longer podcast.
Leon, that's another producer we died.
I knew there was someone else.
I just saw his ghost.
Oh, that's right. He was the other one.
I couldn't remember who it was.
He's now doing great things with Merrick Watts on Triple M. Well, that's it. Here is the Significantly Edited Ketchup.
Roden Sam. Superstar actor and friend of the show, Deborah Lee Furness, is our guest this morning to talk to us about National Adoption Awareness Week. Deb and her husband, Hugh Jackman, are the proud parents of two adopted children, and I know I'd be rapt if I found out I was adopted by those guys. I don't even mean as a kid either. I mean now, right now. Like, I'll even change my name to fit in. Rover Little Wolverine Furness Jackman. Just slide the papers over, Deb, and let's make this happen.
Hello, future mum, Deborah Lee Furness.
I will make you do your homework, Rose. Oh, as I really
should.
Strict.
As I should. Hey, I was just thinking as we were doing the introduction just then, I think, if I'm not mistaken, you were our very, very first guest on show one.
I think I was, actually. Yeah. It was last Adoption Awareness
yes,
Week.
Yes,
it
was. So there we go.
Last year.
This is tradition, guys. We have to make this happen every year.
We will.
And for this cause, you know we will. So this is year 9, if I'm right, I think, our 9th.
I cannot believe we've been at it this long yet, 9 years.
Now, how do you feel the change has been since the very first National Adoption Awareness Week?
I am thrilled that we have it on the government's agenda, that we took it out of the dark ages and we put it out there. And we have many people now, we have the greater community aware of the situation. And what we're going for is we need to increase the number of kids that find a permanent loving home, because the statistics of the kids that don't find a permanent home are diabolical. These kids end up with drug problems, homelessness, terrible scenarios, and we've got to make it happen fast. There are 30,000 kids that need a permanent home that have been permanently removed, and last year I think there was only 209 kids, which is 1% of these children are finding a permanent home. That's what's happening, guys. So
that's
everyone
terrible.
Should be outraged like me and say, come on, let's move.
So are these 30,000 kids that haven't been adopted, are they just going in and out of foster homes? Is that where they're at?
Between 2 to 10 different homes. This is what these children will go right. through. And the more shifts they have, the more damaged they become.
Mm.
I heard something shocking the other day. I just have to share this. In America, the jails are private industry, and they now are building jails according to the numbers of the children in foster care.
Yeah, right.
That is shocking.
So this is what's going on. These children are being damaged, and we cannot stand by and let this happen.
Yeah, and obviously, you know, you yourself, an advocate, and you and Hugh, proud parents of two beautiful little children. Well, Oscar's
gorgeous.
Not so little now.
He's 6 foot tall.
Oh, my God. And what a brain. What a brain.
He's pretty smart.
He's a clever little clock.
He didn't get that from me.
But, you know, you've talked about this before. You have been present at the birth, even though, you know, adopted children. You still can feel part of their lives. And it must be, you know, almost heartbreaking to think that they too could have been children that weren't in a happy family environment like you guys have been able to provide.
Yeah, that could be us. It could be our child. So, yeah, look, adoption is not the best option. I mean, the best option is that these kids stay with their birth families. If the child can stay within birth family or extended birth family or within their culture, fantastic. And we try to do that first. But when that's not possible, a child needs to be in a permanent being the operative word, loving family.
Absolutely. Now, speaking of loving families, you are joining us at the moment. You're at home, just wrapped up dinner. Is everybody in bed? Is Hugh tucking everybody in?
It was pandemonium before I got in the thing. I said, like, everybody quiet, mum's on the radio. And Ava wears the sweatshirt, you left it at dance, and dinner's over and do the dishes. So, yeah, it's a crazy hour.
Now, we're very excited, of course. It kicks off Sunday, National Adoption Awareness Week.
Yeah.
People can go to adoptchange.org.au.
Yeah.
But also, Deb, just finally to wrap up, is there anything you can say to people, any wish that you would have for people to help make them more aware of the adoption issue?
By people standing up or writing to your member or getting involved with some of the initiatives and just lending their support, that energy will have effect, and it could result in a child, you know, finding a family and changing the trajectory of a life that might have gone off a different rail.
A beautiful thing. Let's make it happen. Kicks off Sunday, National Adoption Awareness Week, adoptchange.org.au. Deb Lee, thank you very much for chatting to us.
Thank you so much.
And thank you, guys. You're always so supportive. I really appreciate it.
Lovely to chat to Deb. Now, if you are someone who has been adopted, thanks to, you know, people who, like Deb, have made a change in some of these kids' lives. I mean, that stat, one more time, is like 30,000 kids.
30,000 kids.
And only just over 200 have been adopted is a staggering thought. But if you are one of those few, We would love to hear from you to just get an insight into what a difference it has made to your life. 131060. And how did you find out? We'd love to hear from you if you have been adopted.
Today FM's Rove and Sam.
Kira Lee in Ingadine. Good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks for calling in. So you were adopted?
Yes, that's right.
So take us through it. I guess the first thing is how did you find out? Had you always been raised with that knowledge?
Yeah. I was adopted as a baby. My biological parents were quite young, so they gave me up at birth. And my parents, they told me when I was probably about six that I was adopted. So I've known my whole life.
And as a six-year-old, how did you comprehend being told that? Did you know what it meant?
Looking back, I probably didn't comprehend it totally. But I do remember them sitting me down and explaining to me that, you know, I did have another mummy and daddy, but they couldn't take care of me. So, so my parents are now my parents and they love me very much. And I was special because they got to choose me. Oh. You know, they chose me.
That's a very beautiful thought. I guess that's the thing most people probably don't think about. For you, they are your parents. That's just the way it's always been for you, I would think, right?
Yes, totally. Yeah, they're my mum and dad.
And, how do you feel, when people try and say, oh, yeah, but you're real parents, or do you get quite offended by that?
Yeah, I do, actually. Yeah. Your parents are the people that give you your values. They're the people that raise you and teach you right from wrong and are there for you. It's not necessarily, you know, who the sperm and the egg were, you know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely, I hear you.
So have you ever felt that you need to have any contact with your biological parents, or is it something that it's not like you need any closure on that? Is it something you've ever decided to pursue?
Yeah. Look, I did feel like I needed to know them. So I went through docs and I found out that my biological mother actually didn't want to meet me because she had her own family and had moved on, and that was fine. It was hard. I was quite upset, but I understand and I've got to respect her. But she was kind enough to let me know who my father was. But unfortunately, he had passed away. But within about 2 weeks of sending a letter to his family, they wanted to meet me. So now I'm in regular contact with my biological father's family, and they're amazing.
Oh, that's a beautiful story.
That's great to hear, Kira Lee. And nice to think, too, that, you know, here you are with a happy life when you think, you know, that's the reality of it. Like, sometimes it's just a young mother or a young family, and it's just not something that they've been prepared for. And so they make, I think, sometimes the right decision to think someone else can do a better job of maybe bringing this child up, and to think that someone like Kira Lee has benefited from adoption.
Absolutely.
When who knows what the other options may have been, is a wonderful story. Thank you very much for your story. What
yeah, thanks for sharing it, Kira Lee.
I had a friend who had, as she got older, found out she was adopted when she was a little bit older and went looking for her biological parents. At the same time, they decided, you know what, we think we want to track her down and find her. And at the same time, they were both looking for each other at either end and found each other. And she now lives her life with essentially two families who get along very well. It's a weird scenario, I'm guessing, if you're in it.
I feel for the parents who adopted, because they've put in all the hard work, they've put in all the effort and the love, and they're the ones that picked up the slack. And then sometimes they're like, yeah, love you. Not always, I'm not saying this, but sometimes like, yeah, love you, but anyway, I want to find my biological parents. I think that would be tough on them too.
But so nice to know, like in Kira Lee's case, you're like, no, they're my parents. They raised
perfect.
Me. I'm the person I am because of them.
Absolutely.
Thank you very much for your story.
Today FM's Rove and Sam. Friday 500.
Yes, indeed.
Sorry, I just was lost in a moment. Ooh, I'm back. That was a scary place I just went to. It is the Friday 500, your chance to pay your way out of relationship debt, and we are the people to do it.
John, good morning.
Good morning.
What have you done to embarrass your partner, old Johnny boy?
So we're in bed watching a movie one day, and I had to sneeze and fart at the same time.
Of course you did.
Oh.
And basically, about not long later, my four-year-old daughter came in, and we thought she pooed herself because we could just start to smell it.
Uh-oh.
So we told her, go clean yourself up and that. So about half hour later, I had to get up and go to the toilet and realised it wasn't her.
What?
And it was all in the bed, all over me. and I have not let that one down yet.
John!
Mate!
So the lesson is don't sneeze and fart at the same time.
Of course it's the lesson, John. Of course it's the lesson.
Oh, don't poo in the bed.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah. It was everywhere.
Nah, you know, I think the first lesson. I think the first lesson.
Yuck.
Thank you, John.
Thanks, John.
Mood killer.
Brooke in Moorbank, good morning.
Hi.
Hi as well to you.
Hey, Brooke. Hey, Brooke, what have you done to deserve the Friday 500?
So a few years ago, my partner and I have been together 6 years, and a few years ago we were out with a friend at a local sports club, and, you know, I was feeling a little bit frisky, and I was like, come on, let's go to the car. And he's like, no, you know, we can't leave our friend here. And I was like, let's go. We'll be 10 minutes. So we ran down to the car, and little did I know that a little bit of time had passed, and our ride had come to pick us up, and, you know, they were calling for us over the speaker inside, and we didn't even know, we had no idea. And midway through, we had security come and knock on the window and go, there's some people here looking for you. You might want to stop now and upstairs. And we were like,
oh, who was looking for you?
Security have come looking for you while you're doing it in the car?
Hey, you're just having a good time.
So hang on. So they've seen you having sex and still gone, hello?
Yeah.
Hello? Are you all right? We hear moaning.
Yeah, yeah.
Man alive.
Wow.
Well, you know, like with security, it's a one out, one in policy, so fair enough.
Marnie in St. Helens, good morning.
Good morning, how are you?
Very well, Marnie. Why do you deserve the Friday 500?
Well, I've been with my husband a long time, and we decided to mix it up a little bit. So we introduced, let's say, a sexual toy into our relationship.
Let's just say it.
Anyway, I ended up in the emergency department because it got stuck somewhere that we couldn't get it out.
Where? Marnie? Well, where?
Let me think. Okay, you could get
it
out.
In your ear?
Mm-hmm.
That's where I was going with it. Some right. people like kinky ear yeah. sex, Marnie.
Tradesman's entrance, shall we say, Marnie?
What's that one?
So, let's in just say, I needed some professional help to remove it.
Really?
Wow.
Really?
As in a plumber?
Apparently.
It's like a tradie doctor, medical professional?
Yeah, doctor, medical professional.
Oh, right.
That's one of the things that they train. Like, they have a whole...
Where are we going with this now, Sam?
Guys,
I never know what you're about to say. Here we go.
That's the fun thing about me.
Here we go. Right? Take a knee, everybody.
No, it's fine. But apparently, like, doctors, they're specially trained in removing items from areas. So, Marnie, you had good experts. Cool.
I think Marnie gets a 5-5-5-5.
Great.
Congratulations, Marnie.
Thank you so much.
Hey, look, we never properly got... Is it actually out?
It's out.
Oh, thank goodness, Marnie. Thank goodness. Happy birthday. Oh, I'm going to miss Joel.
Today FM's Roving Sam.
Well, Sam, you're helping a low-level employee on this show do better with their love.
I know.
Welcome, Cody. Welcome.
Cody, welcome.
Young producer Cody.
Now, Cody.
So successful in so many ways, but such a failure when it comes to love.
I know. I mean, like, it's your own fault, really. So, uh-huh. You know, you employed the expertise of myself. And
Boom.
By employed, I mean I offered my services. And by offered, I mean I forced you to go on these dates.
Yeah.
But yesterday, you did choose who you would like to take things further with.
It was Alec.
Alec, welcome to the studio.
There you go, guys.
Really well.
Just quick question. Are you going to cry during this like you did at the end of Inside Out?
Only if you do, Rove.
Okay, cool.
Okay,
there's
well.
There's a bromance happening too.
Sexy. It's very sexy in here. So, Alec, how did you think that the date went? Were you just really excited when you were the chosen one at the end?
Yeah. It shocked me, to be honest. I thought it went pretty bad, but then I found out it wasn't even her speaking.
Well,
Sam was in her ear.
Exactly.
Professional data, but went terribly wrong, so I don't know where you're getting your degree from.
That's great. It went really well. Are you joking? Don't you want marriage and children?
It wasn't so much that. It was just all the other stuff.
Perfect response, by the way. Alec,
yes or no answer.
Okay, great. Well, you know what? Being the good person that I am, there's a little bitty of a twist.
There always is.
Of course.
There always is.
Mm-hmm. Alec, You have the opportunity to go on another date with Cody, which I'm sure will go like a proper one. I won't be there. Cameras won't be there.
Why not? You can come if you want, to be honest.
Okay, I can be there. I mean, I feel like you're definitely hitting on me. I mean, that's okay. I take it as a compliment. I'm looking great today. But, sorry, Cody. I'm stamping on your feet or whatever the saying is.
And back to Cody. Okay, so.
You've got the opportunity to go on a date. Fantastic. No cameras, no me or me if you want. I can pop out as a nice surprise. But.
That's option A?
That's option A.
Good option.
Or option B, you take $500... and you're never allowed to see Cody ever again. What will it be?
Wow. I mean, that's a tough one. Sorry, this is Alex's decision. Sorry. I thought you were asking me. With $500, you could get a great high-end escort as well.
With $500, you could buy an engagement ring for somebody else.
Okay.
Like a real cheap one, though. Nasty. But that might be what you
like,
want.
Look, I could use $500, but wouldn't mind having a proper date with Cody. Aww. She's a cool chick.
My word, I did not think this was going to go this way.
That's really nice.
Look.
Oh, my God. If I was offered Sasha or $500, I'll take $500.
I'd do it for $250.
Mate, I'll do it for $50.
Guys, love wins.
Love wins.
Love wins.
Well, we wish you guys all the best. We apologise for whatever other stunts you will be dragged into with your future together.
Oh, you guys are going to get
And look,
married.
At the end of the day...
I'm going to Photoshop your faces together to see what your babies will look like.
At the end of the day, really what we have to do now is say thank you, Sam. I think, Cody, you owe Sam a huge level of gratitude.
I do.
Look what she did.
I'm a legend.
Look what she's done, you two.
I create magic.
Thank you, Sam. Much appreciated. Thank you, Rove.
I'm just a passerby.
Yeah.
Looking in and going,
aww.
So, off you two go. Watch Inside Out.
Oh, Alec, that's really cute that you didn't take the money.
Well, look, love is the big winner here.
Sorry, guys.
But well done, Sam. Thank you very much.
This is really all about me, guys.
Congratulations, Cody and Alec. Love wins, guys. Love wins.
Today FM's Rove and Sam.
Australian acting superstar Rose Byrne swings by the studio to talk to us about her starring role in the Sydney Theatre Company play Speed the Plough. Rose is not only the star of TV and film, but has also previously been the face of Max Factor, which is funny because at the same time, I was also the face of Max Brenner. Well, technically, I was filling my face with chocolates from Max Brenner, but I still think of it as an endorsement. Rose Byrne, welcome.
Thank you.
How are you?
I'm really well.
We're very excited. Speed the Plough, this play, it's about basically how ruthless Hollywood is. How much truth is behind it?
I think it's pretty true. I mean, I know you've spent time there in LA.
We were there at the start of the year.
Yeah,
it was pretty ruthless.
For 2 weeks.
I mean, how long was the queue to get on the cars ride at Disneyland? That was 3 hours.
It's pretty ruthless. Pretty ruthless.
Really? That's brutal.
But it is pretty cutthroat.
Absolutely.
Like, what has your experience been like?
The great thing about the play is that it's a satire, so it's incredibly funny. And looking at it, just making fun of these characters, in particular these producers played by Lockie Hume and Damon Harriman, and the kind of absurdity of the world they live in. You know, they're really excited about a movie, but neither of them have read script.
And working with Lockie Hume, did he chew your ear off about some conspiracy theories, maybe the JFK?
So is this a well-known thing about Lockie
Just
Hume?
With us, I think. I don't know how...
I'm obsessed with how obsessed he is with it.
He is a passionate man.
I want to get him on just to talk about it. I'll be like, I know, you're really successful, like yada, yada, yada. But JFK, right?
he's incredible. And he also has an incredible collection of Batman memorabilia, I believe.
Oh, I'm so jealous.
Which is amazing.
Now, how does this come up in conversation?
He's pop culture. He's very into pop culture in general. So, and because the play is about films and Hollywood and all those sorts of things. So we are always discussing stuff like that because of the show. So it was one of those things that kind of naturally evolved.
Is it a bit of, you're talking about the Hollywood experience. How tough is oiling up Zac Efron's body?
That's a tough day at the office. Yeah.
It's a
tough day at the office. I'm all right.
Okay.
I'm all right. I made it through.
Do you have to explain that one when you get home?
So what did you do at work today?
I know.
Well,
but it's so...
You'll see it on the big screen soon enough.
So ridiculous, those Neighbours films. Which I love working so much with Seth Rogen and Zach. It's wonderful. And our director, Nick Stoller. But those movies are pretty hilariously absurd, especially that. And the meat that we had to, that was like injected with baby oil. Mm-hmm. I did start laughing in that scene. I was like, what is happening? What am I doing? I'm a grown woman. You're embarrassed about your toys.
And another thing you've just been doing as well is you've been working on this HBO film, The Immortal Life of Henrietta Lacks.
Yes.
And Oprah, is she in this or is she working behind the scenes?
She produced the film and she is starring in it as well.
So did you cross paths?
Yeah, all my scenes were with Oprah Winfrey. Wow. Have you heard of her?
No. rings a bell. I'll have to do my research. Yeah,
were you ever on the show back in the day?
No, I never was. I had not met her before, so it was incredible to work with her. We were in Atlanta for 2 months working on this really great project based on a book, a true story, and I'm playing a journalist who's investigating her family, and she's amazing. I mean, you know, she's an amazing person, amazing woman to spend time with, and she kept sort of saying she was nervous, so that was pretty wild to hear that from Oprah
Winfrey.
Isn't
that amazing?
It's quite a departure for her. The role is very... You know, I think she's brilliant. So anyway, that was a really wild experience.
I went to her live show.
Oh, here in Australia. Yeah. She loved Australia. She told me about the trip here and how much she loved it.
She played some amazing songs. I might have a different show. But you can sit there listening to her talk
forever.
For it was hours.
I know.
And it works. Yeah. Like, is it like you're sitting at the learning tree and you just... want to ask her about wisdom, or is it like us with you just going, what's this person like? Talk to Oprah about?
When you're working with someone, you know, and the role, it was a pretty intense project, so you're very focused on just day-to-day work. But she is she's like an oracle, you know. She has this incredible voice and diction alone to what she's saying and what she's seen and who she knows and her life and everything like that. So like anyone, you just get to know them incrementally. But she's a compelling person, absolutely. That's instantly... You can feel that sort of energy around her.
At the time you were making this, were you like new mum stage? Was Rocco just a little in at
I was.
Point?
It was my first time back at work. So that was,
And how was that
the ranks
experience?
Of working women all around the world. And it was great. I mean,
was it difficult?
No, I have no complaints. I'm very lucky. I had great help. And, you know, he's a good baby, knock on wood. So it's fun.
Now, I don't know if Rocco's aware of how great mum is with her animals and her bird calls. Because we heard you recently on The Tonight Show doing this.
Americans love it. I mean, they love it. Yeah, they want to hear about the wild animals and what's in Australia so dangerous. And it's like, I grew up in, Balmain. And I'm like, totally like a city girl. My boyfriend Bobby first heard a kookaburra and he was like, what is that? He got very... disturbed by the noise. Yeah. And it is an incredible noise.
We have a segment on the show called Arsehole Animals where we tell stories about being attacked by our feathered and furry and finned friends. Do you have an arsehole animal story at all?
That's a good question.
That's what I do.
A horse did buck me once.
Excuse me?
Oh. Yeah, when I was really little. And ever since then, I've been pretty scared.
My headphones are a bit patchy.
Oh, and you know what? No, actually I have a worse story.
Oh.
I was like heavily pregnant, like 7 months pregnant, and we were on a friend's farm upstate New York with these miniature donkeys. Friend had like a hobby farm, and they were like, come in and pet the donkeys. And they're like pretty cute and little. And so I went in heavily pregnant, and this donkey cornered me and started kicking me, like fully, fiercely, bang, 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 like that, kicking me. And I like deflected, so it got my, my butt and my legs and stuff.
That's quite
but like
traumatic.
It went and like cornered me into the pen, and
what?
Then our friend who has the horses was mortified and like took the donkey away, and it was pretty scary because I was pregnant, so that was pretty bad. And then he sent them away.
What an asshole!
Wow.
Yeah.
And that donkey was never heard of
again.
And
that donkey, he unfortunately, I think the donkey went to another farm because he was so mortified.
The donkey
our
was?
Our friend. Oh. No, the donkey didn't care. The donkey was like, I'm not sure why he did it to me. I think he just didn't like me and he was backing into me. He had like a really big butt and he was backing into me.
Sometimes animals, if you're pregnant, get a bit weird. I have a friend when she was pregnant, she had like four... dogs, rescue dogs. They've all had, a troubled upbringing, but they were still the most delightful dogs you'd ever wish to meet. Mm. She got pregnant and they were like, there's something wrong with mum. Let's
uh-oh.
Get her.
Uh-oh.
And they just went, we don't want anything to do with you. Go over there. Away, human. And she was like, "It's I think because I'm a they can smell something or they can they'll sense a second heartbeat it. Or
yeah.
whatever."
Isn't that interesting?
That's why you shouldn't have pet donkeys, guys. Even the tiny ones.
Oh my goodness.
Okay, I'm just saying.
I was black and blue, covered with bruises all up and down my
How
legs.
Frightening.
It was really. It was pretty scary. It was pretty. I was pretty shaken up afterwards. Yeah. But I mean, I was fine. But my friend was just mortified, so I felt bad because he was just so. He was so. Griffin was mortified.
Griffin, if you're listening, 13, 10, 60, bless. We'd love to hear from you. Well, Speed the Plough, it opens Saturday the 12th of November, Sydney Theatre Company. Tickets are on sale now at sydneytheatre.com.au. Just a quick thing, if this is set in the 80s, are we seeing like perms, power shoulder pads?
There's a little bit of that. Well, you know who inaugurated this role was Madonna. She did it on Broadway in 1988. She was the first.
You don't need that pressure.
To do it, so.
You got
no,
this.
It's not even 30 years, so it's okay. It's all forgotten. Moved on.
Can't wait to see it. Thank you very much for joining us, Rose Byrne. An absolute pleasure.
Rove and Sam. You can be the
greatest. You can be the best. Bring it in the Hall of Fame.
I am the greatest.
And Sydney's going to know your name.
Any reason at all that you have rung up, even just to go, "Hey, I thought you were the other people." Boo. Whatever it is, you could be in... to our Call of Fame. Sam, who's made the Call of Fame this week?
Okay, so we do a few special mentions because it's always nice and they make us laugh. But you could get in this for anything if you make us laugh, if you've got an awesome story, or if you're just lovely. Willie from Bankstown called for the phoner. What can't grown men do together?
Share a motorbike. It's just awkward, you know, having another guy's arms around your waist. Like, I'm not homophobic anymore, but it's just weird another guy's hands are touching my love handles.
Of course we do.
Guys, he's not homophobic. I love how much people laugh at themselves. It makes me laugh, and it's really brilliant. So, special mention to Willie. Josh in Kellyville, he called for, "Are you a man that shaves?"
I love shaving my leg. Like, it's also, you know, when you shave them, it's nice and clean, and I just find myself playing with my legs for 20 minutes, you know, lying in bed. Like, where you just work from the ankles, and you slowly stroke up the leg, and you just feel how smooth it really is, and you just appreciate it. You know, not a hair's left on my body. I don't just shave my legs, I shave everywhere.
What is going on? Josh, you're confusing. You're
and that
creepy.
That went on for a long time.
Like, that was. He was like our only caller for that break because he was talking for a really long time. But the winner for Call of Fame this week, who will win a $100 Visa gift card thanks to us, is Brad from Mount Druitt. He called for. Where's your piercing?
That's right. And we had done one of our plugs for our sponsor, Winston with a Y, talking about them getting stuff installed before Christmas and even questioning if that was possible. And as it turned out...
Bro, you'd be happy to know I actually work for Winston with a Y.
No, you don't!
Yeah, I do.
Brad!
So would you
I
be...
do.
Well, I'd rather just keep talking about that. Seriously, you can't get it, you can't get it done by Christmas, Brad. It's impossible.
It is pretty hard, I'll tell you.
Brad, we love you. You can stay forever.
$100 Visa gift card to Brad, and I am going to throw in a SodaStream machine because that's what gets it done.
Fantastic.
Man, I'll just give those away to anybody.
How many SodaStreams do you have?
Three.
I feel like you offer them a lot.
No.
And you're very precious with them. You're like, you can't get one. That's not funny enough.
Imagine never having to make soda again, Sam.
So Brady Mount Druitt gets a SodaStream and
$100. $100.
Mate, Brad, you're killing it.
Guys, it's a sad day
in
the studio.
You probably got fired as well, you know.
Yeah, I did, probably.
For saying, you know what, guys, we pay a lot of money for them to say it finishes, you can do it by Christmas.
Sell the SodaStream, make some money. Guys, a sad day in the studio. One of our own is he's going to pass away today in spirit because he will be dead to us. His name is Joel. I can't even say it out loud, Sam.
His name's Joel Riley. He's got red hair, but that doesn't matter, guys.
No, he still gets the ladies a lot. God, it's a stun. I don't know.
Honestly,
I don't know. I can't predict.
When someone first told me, when they're like, "Oh, Joel, he's your digital guy, puts together all the videos, he makes us look very funny."
Yeah.
And, you know, he doesn't really talk much. Actually, he doesn't talk at all.
Yep.
And then, you know, he's got red hair. And then people go, yeah, he gets a lot of D and the V. And you go, what?
Now, we haven't
that
been
guy?
Here.
That guy?
We...
That guy?
Yes, that guy. Now, we haven't been here that long. Sam, we're only really coming up to a year, but we would like to look back at some wonderful memories we put together of our time with Joel. We don't have any. As we said, he's very quiet. But Joel, come on in. Joel, come on in. Come and say something.
Come on, Joel.
He hates this.
How many people have you actually laid here in the company?
Hello, 9 AMers. This is what you miss out. G'day, Joel.
Hey, Joel.
Hi, guys.
Oh, my God, I didn't realise you could talk. Wow,
Joel,
that's amazing.
We are going to miss you. For anybody who's seen any video of us online being stupid, Joel is the one who has to sift through all of that to find the good stuff.
And one of my favourite things about you, Joel, is when I know I've done a good job, you're filming and you're laughing while I'm filming, and then it encourages me, and I'm like, no one else is going to laugh at me like you do, and I'm probably not even funny, but thanks for making me feel...
You are funny, and they will laugh at you.
Oh, my God, that's the nicest thing anyone's ever said to me. Seriously, I'm not. Like, people can say I'm pretty and I've got great boobs, but when someone says that I'm funny, it just really hits a really great spot, and this makes me so happy.
So, Joel, roll on this. Oh, no, you can't. You're here. Joel,
Joel, seriously, it's so nice, and you love Christmas.
Joel, thank you so much for being part of the team. We will miss you. I know you're only going one floor down, but seriously, you will be dead to us. I sometimes forget you even have a surname. But since we came in day one, you have been the one person we have liked from the moment we started.
I hate everyone here. And you wouldn't like us, Joel. And we're like, we don't even know if he hates us or he thinks we're funny. Guys, we've just got affirmation.
So finally, before we go, Joel, do you like us?
I like you.
Okay, he's still dead to us, but thank you, Joel.
Thanks
for everything, mate.
Thanks for being a superstar.
What a bloody legend.
Great catch up today, Ro.
I had a ball too. I think I'm feeling good because of all the rest I'm getting at home.
I'm guessing you've got your new blinds.
That sounds a little personal, but yes, you're right. Our friends at Winston with a Y came down and sorted us out, not only with new blinds, but also awnings and CrimSafe products.
That's the sort of service you receive when you're dealing with the family-owned business that has over 48 years' experience.
And as I discovered, if you contact them now, you can have it all sorted by Christmas.
So go to winstonwithay.com.au.
That's Winston with a Y.
Why?
Well, because that's how they spell their name.
No, I know. I was just reminding people why.
Why is it spelled with a Y or just Y?
Why?
Why am I asking you about the why, and why are you talking about the why?
You've really had too much sleep, haven't you?
Thanks to Winston Blinds, Awnings and CrimSafe, I'm chock full of the energy and I'm ready to zing.